Fiat. June 18th, 1937. What one obtains and what it means to submit oneself to the divine will. Exchange of abandonments between the divine will and the soul. Merit that she acquires. Outpouring of love. How in each created thing there is the deposit of love for us. I was following the divine volition in its acts, and oh, how many surprises, how many consoling things. One feels so much love as to remain drowned within the divine flames. And my sweet Jesus, wanting to let me know better what one submission, one more act in the divine will means, all goodness told me. My daughter, if you knew how my love feels an extreme need to pour itself out and make known what it pours into the creature when she submits to my will and comes as our daughter to live in it. As she submits and we see her within our divine boundaries, which are interminable, we feel captivated and we pour into her a new sea of love, but so great that she feels drowned, and, unable to contain it all, she makes it a gift to all created things, to the saints, to the angels, to her very Creator, and even to the hearts on earth who are more disposed, the gift of the sea of love that she has received. We feel ourselves being given to all, to make all of us. What traffic, what loving industries. We feel our surprises of love being repeated, our divine modes exchanged. As soon as the creature submits to our will to let it reign, she forms for us the place within her own, to let us operate as God inside her tiny little field. And the prodigies we make, our industries of love, are such and so many that the heavens lower themselves. They are shaken and astounded, admire what we do in the creature in whom reigns our divine fiat. You must know that our creation did not end with man, because it was interrupted by his withdrawing from our will. Since it was not reigning in him, we could not trust him, and therefore the continuation of our creative work remained as though suspended. This is why we anxiously await his return into the arms of our fiat, that he may let it reign. Then will we resume the continuation of creation, and oh, how many beautiful things we will do. We will give surprising gifts. Our wisdom will put out all of its divine art, and oh, how many beautiful images that resemble us will it issue from its divine light. All beautiful, but distinct, one from the other, in sanctity, in power, in beauty, in love, in the gifts. Our love will no longer be hindered. Finding our will, it will be able to do and give whatever it wants. And therefore, it will make such great display in giving to be repaid of its constrained love. And since we will be free in giving, we will call them our temples. We will make known to them who we are, how much we love them, and how they must love us. We will place our love at their disposal, that we may love one another with one single love. So, one who lives in our will be our triumph, our victory, our divine army, the continuation of our creation, and the fulfillment of it. Do you think that wanting to give and being unable to give is nothing for us? Being unable to create innumerable prodigies of graces, of sanctity, but because our will does not reign in the souls, we are as though rejected and prevented from creating our most beautiful works. This is the highest of our sorrows. Therefore, by never doing your will, you will be able to soothe this sorrow of ours. And in this way, captivate our fiat to make it reign in the midst of the human generations. Afterwards, I continued to think about the divine will and was saying to myself, is it not enough to give oneself prey to the divine will just once? What can be the good of giving oneself always? My always lovable Jesus added, my blessed daughter, you do not know the secrets of our love and our infinite stratagems that reach unto the excess. One must truly love to be able to find many devices of love by which to give oneself and receive from the beloved. You must know that each time the creature gives herself to us, prey to our volition, we give ourselves to her, as though abandoning ourselves in the bosom of the creature. And if you knew what this abandoning of ourselves means, the grace, the good that we leave to her, the renewing of our life that we repeat for her, your heart would explode with joy, with happiness, and with love. But this is nothing. Each time she gives herself to us, we give her the merit that she has given us her life. And if she gives herself 10, 20, 100, 1,000 times, and even more, so many times do we give her the merit as if she had given us so many lives for as many times as she has given herself to us. And we give her our life. We renew her in it. We repeat the good for her, or rather, we increase it for as many times as she has given herself to us. Our satisfaction, the delight that we experience when the creature gives herself to us, is so great that we abound so much toward her as to give her the merit of possessing as many divine lives. And by locating her life, we give her the merit of so many lives for as many times as she has given herself. This is our divine commerce. We want in order to give ourselves. We give ourselves in order to receive the life of the creature into our Supreme Being. This exchange of lives maintains the conversation. We make ourselves known for who we are. We let her feel the ardent heartbeats, the love that consumes us, how we love her, and how we want to be loved. And besides, if she did not feel the need to give herself constantly to us, it is a sign that she does not love us, and her heart is not in possession of our irresistible love. This is the sign of true love, wanting to give oneself always, almost at each instant, to the beloved. But while the creature gives herself, the power of love imposes itself, for it wants to receive. And if it did not receive, it would feel suffocated and would burst into cries of sorrow as to deafen heaven and earth. This is why, in order not to reach such pangs of sorrow, my love awaits the creature's giving herself to me, and immediately I give myself to her with all the infinity of our will. Later, I was continuing my rounding creation, and oh, how many beautiful surprises! Each created thing was telling me how much God loved me. Each of them possessed a space that contained a deposit of love that was to tell me always, He loves you. Your Creator loves you. I remained surprised. And my sweet Jesus, coming back, continued, my daughter. You know that creation was an outpouring of our love. And as we issued the creation to the light of day, we kept everyone present. Not a single creature escaped us. And we placed for each of them, in each created thing, a deposit of love that was to love her and always say to her, He loves you. Your Creator loves you. So, if the created things run in order to give to creatures the good that they possess, it is our love that makes them run. If the heavens extend above everyone's head, it is our deposit of love that gives them the right. If the sun gives its light to all, that is the inheritance of love that each one holds in the sun of their Creator. If the earth is stable under her steps, it is our deposit of love that makes Mother Earth take the creature as though onto its lap, and securing her step, makes it say to her, under her feet, He loves you. He who created you loves you. If water quenches your thirst, it is our cry of love that runs in the water and quenches your thirst, washes you, gives sap to the plants, and the so many other benefits it produces. If the fire does not burn you, it is our deposit of love, which is the property of creatures, that cries out, Warm our daughter, do no harm to her. And so with all other things. Now, I want to tell you something consoling. If the creature enters into the created things, recognizes this, our deposit of love in each of them, and makes her love resound within ours, she prepares a banquet for her Creator. Look at how much diversity of foods, of love, you can prepare for us even just in the sun. In that light, there is the sweetness of our love. And you, by loving us, at the touch of our love, sweeten your own love and give us the food of the love that sweetens us. In that light, there are the flavors of our love. And you, by loving us, give us the joys of the many flavors of our love. In that light, there is our fecund love, the love that wounds, burns, and consumes. And you, by loving us, will acquire into your love the divine fecundity, the virtue of wounding us, and of burning and being consumed for us. There is also the variety of colors that embellishes everything. And you, by loving us, will acquire the virtue of the beautiful love in which you will remain as though wrapped with an enchanting beauty. And oh, how enraptured we will feel. Daughter, if I wanted to tell you the multiplicity and diversity of love that we have placed in each created thing for each creature, and how she has the duty to know this multiple love of ours in order to find the model by which to love us with many distinct loves as we have loved her, I would never end. But, alas, our love remains isolated without the company of the love of the creature. And this is a sorrow for us, that our love is not recognized in each created thing, while all of them have the mandate from us to love her with a distinct love. In the wind runs the blowing of our kisses, the waves of our loving caresses, the moans of our suffocated love. In the might of the wind runs our ruling love that wants to make itself known in order to rule over all. And at times it reaches the point of nearly speaking, almost with deafening screams, so that the creature may hear nothing but our love that loves her. Oh, if the creature recognized our love that runs in the wind, she would return our kisses and caresses with hers, After all, why do we kiss her and caress her? Because we want to be kissed and caressed by her. She would moan together with our love, so as not to let us suffocate. She would love us with our ruling love and hers. And screaming together with our love, she would deafen all by saying, let us love he who so much loves us. Even in the air that all breathe, how much love does not run. But no, not at intervals, like in the other created things. Rather, in each instant, in each breath, if she sleeps, if she works, if she walks, if she eats, our love runs always, but with a love that is distinct and new compared to all other created things. In the air runs our love that gives life, with an enchanting rapidity such that no one can resist it. It runs in the heart, in the blood, in the bones, in the nerves, in everything, and constitutes itself vital act of the human being, tacitly saying to him, I bring you the continuous love of your Creator, and because it is continuous, I can give you life. Oh, if she would recognize us in the air that she breathes, the act of life we have placed in it, the order of our love that runs always without ever stopping. She would give us her life in exchange in order to love us, to narrate to us our love story and repeat our little refrain. I love you. I love you always, in everything and in each thing, just as you have loved me. From the greatest thing to the littlest, there is a love of ours, new and distinct for the creatures. And because they do not know it, they do not requite us. Or rather, with highest ingratitude, they return our love with offenses. This is why we await our will to be known and dominating in the midst of the human generations, because it will make itself the revealer of our love. Then will we be repaid, and we will love each other with one single love. How happy we will be! And in seeing ourselves loved, we will add more new and distinct loves. In this way, our love will no longer be constrained, but will have its outpouring of love and of being loved in return. Therefore, pray that our kingdom may come, and you recognize our love. And if you want love, love us. If we do not find our love in the creature, we don't know what to give her, nor what to do with her, because the prop is missing on which to lean our graces, and the first element that forms our life in her.